This is a strange Mother's Day in the United States. Really strange. Because I would think that we would all be on the same page, that we're at a happy Mother's Day. But half of our country, those that consider themselves quote unquote liberals, they want to call this Happy Birthing People's Day. Happy Birthing People's Day. That's because there are women who wake up in the morning in different places in America, and they want to be men. And they can get pregnant as men, and they go around and they want to be called birthing units. But you're going to have to put up with the old man. I'm used to the old way. And I really love ladies, you know? I've been, you know, captured by one and loving one intimately for over 5 decades. And she has provided me 2 female girls that are both moms and have given us grandkids. I'm crazy about ladies. I think women are great. You know, I kind of think that we got it wrong in the book of Genesis, that when our Heavenly Father took that rib and created Eve, and Adam said, you know, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and I'm going to call her Eve. No, I think he went, ba, 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 boom, and that was just too much in Hebrew to write out in the book of Genesis. I don't know why this is happening in our country, other than I think something has gone askew. But hopefully, ladies, as we get into this morning's message that the Holy Spirit has been very gracious in identifying for us out of Proverbs 31, that you will be the ones that can help correct the other ones that wake up in the morning and think that they're a man and want to be a man. So I want you to help me to get the message out to the other side that being a woman is great and being a Christian woman is even better. If you see here in your notes, the title is The Extraordinary Woman. And that's what I really see in you. You are completely different from men. Now, some women want to become like us men. They want to be able to swear like we do. They want to smoke stogies like we do. They want to do all of these things. And family, I want you to hear me. You know, the Lord told us that he created man out of the dirt, the dust of the earth. But girls, I think he made you out of a finer china. I think he made you to be special, very special indeed. So join me, if you would, as I go before the Lord and commit this time and you to him as we look into his word. Abba, Abba Father, none of us had perfect moms, but we honor our moms today on Mother's Day because you chose them. You chose them that we, each one of us who are here, would be created in them. Lord, for many, Mother's Day is a difficult day. And so we ask you to comfort those with heartaches today. For those who've lost their mom, comfort them. For moms who've lost a child, comfort them. We pray for our stepmoms who struggle with blending a family. We pray for those who have had a delayed or failed adoption and their heart has been broken. Comfort these moms, please, Father. Comfort those who wanted to be mothers but It just hasn't happened yet. Wrap your arms around these women. Wrap your arms around them, dear Lord, and give them your comfort today. At the same time, you said to rejoice with those who rejoice. So we celebrate with those who've given birth this year. We think of Will and Megan, even right now over there at Woodland Hills Kaiser. We ask you to comfort them and be there, right there in that room, and helping Megan as she's preparing to give birth to their little girl. We celebrate with those who've adopted children into their homes, or those who have graciously and warmly welcomed foster kids who need a loving home. I think of Gary and Robin, who have invited two little boys into their homes and are now their sons. Lord, we thank you for our moms in every stage of life, for the mothers of preschoolers who work and never seem to get finished, the moms of grade schoolers who play chauffeur and help with homework every day, and for the moms who feel both the pride and the ache of now being in the empty nest stage. On this Mother's Day, Abba, we commit ourselves to honoring, loving, and protecting the mothers in our lives. And we thank you for the gift of mothers. We pray your blessing on each and every one of these moms. In Jesus' name, amen. So the extraordinary woman. All you have to do is look in the mirror, girls. You can be this woman. I've offered the same three essential questions as we look at this morning's message that come with all of our message notes. You've probably noticed that Wonder Woman is in the theaters. Wonder Woman, you know, the original 1960s with Linda Clark. There are certain cable stations you can watch and just see her doing all of those fancy tricks that Wonder Woman can do. It doesn't matter if it's natural or supernatural, she can do it all. And sometimes the world expects you to do the same. The Word of God talks about a real extraordinary Wonder Woman in Proverbs 31. And girls, oftentimes I've heard women speak about this woman in Proverbs 31, and they're not excited about her because she seems to come across as maybe a little bit over the top. But let me encourage in this. Our Heavenly Father would not be describing this lady and saying, you can mimic her. You can be very much like her if you're totally submitted to him. He never asks us to do anything, male or female, if it cannot be accomplished with his help. With his help. And that will come from a rich relationship with him. So I've placed there in your notes the entirety of Proverbs 31 in the event that anyone came this morning and didn't have their copy of his love letter, the Bible, with them. The fact is this. You see this in your notes. The fact. Here's your fill-in. The woman described in this passage is the longest description of any family member in the Word of God. That should tell you a lot about what Abba Father thinks of mothers and how important they are. The chapter is an acrostic, which means that each verse begins with the succeeding letter of the Hebrew alphabet. like Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, Hey, Wow, Zion, and so forth and so on. It's going to begin and take you A to Z in a description of what this Wonder Woman is like. This woman is a woman of virtue, ladies. In verse 1, it introduces this proverb as the word, the sayings of King Lemuel. Lemuel is Hebrew for devoted to God. This is an inspired utterance that came to him through his mother, a mother who understood what Gnosko time meant, this intimate time with the Father. She had her own DPE, these deep personal experiences. So she stands as an example, and her son, the king, picks it up, and he writes it down, these inspired words from our Heavenly Father. We don't know a lot about this king, but we do know that he had a mother who gave him a great deal of wisdom. And this wisdom automatically begins to come as you spend that intimate time with him privately. According to verse 10, a real Wonder Woman is priceless and quite rare. Look at the passage here. An excellent wife, who can find? Excellent here. Hayel, it means a noble. A noble wife, who can find? He's not saying they can't be found. What he's saying is that, like a noble man, they're rare to be found. But an excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels, far more precious than the diamonds that she might wear, or the rubies she might have in her jewelry box. A wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. You and I live in a time with regard to women where the worth of a woman is determined in our culture by her looks, by the way she appears. The more beautiful she is, according to what, I'm not quite sure, but according to whatever our cultural standard is, the more beautiful she is, the more valuable she is, at least in the estimation of the American culture. The less beautiful, older she is, the less valuable in our culture she is. But that is the exact opposite of the way that our Heavenly Father looks at that which is beautiful and extraordinary. Abba's perspective is more important than the movie producer's perspective on beauty. His perspective is more important than the perspective of the photographer who works for women's glamour magazines and puts some of these kids out there that look like they came out of a concentration camp, but they have enough paint on them to make them look pretty. Have you ever wondered what some of these quote-unquote beautiful women look like when they really first get up in the morning? I mean, I used to use a spray can to paint with, you know, the side of a house. They had these little spray things. You girls know it. that they can spray on this stuff on your face? What is that all about?
It's about not looking old.
Amen.
But you look beautiful the way you are. You can't cover it up. You are who you are. And God looks at you and says, you know what? There's my daughter. I'm crazy about her. She's beautiful. My two girls, they're beautiful. One's 49, the other one's 45. And they're beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. Now, that's what a dad is saying as he looks at his daughter. The trouble is, there's other men that say the same thing. What is wrong with getting old? That opens up a whole other way to go, doesn't it?
It hurts.
It hurts. You see, that is adopting our culture's way of looking at things. To who?
To me. I have to feel good about myself. So let's spray it on and try to take away the wrinkles.
You heard about the lady that talked to our Heavenly Father and worked out a deal. She asked him if she could live another 20 years, and he said, okay. So she immediately went out, and she went to the plastic surgeon. And she had all this work done. And then she went to get checked out by the doctor. Everything worked out fine. It's all gone. And she walked across the crosswalk, and a Mack truck ran over her. And she's standing in heaven. I thought you said I had 20 more years. I didn't recognize you. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, pretty girls are a dime a dozen in this country. But women of virtue, women of virtue, women of honor, women of good character, they're rare. They're priceless. They are priceless. That's what he says. I'd go with him rather than my poor jokes. Observation, look here at your notes. In this proverb, we have a description of a woman of good character and integrity. That's what we have here. This is God's daughter. She wasn't born out of sin. She was born in sin. And she has been radically changed because she is committed to our Heavenly Dad. And he has been working on her, not taking away the turkey giblets or whatever this thing is, or giving somebody a brand new nose. Virtue, honor, and character are priceless. The observation is, in this proverb, we have a description of a woman of good character and integrity. I can say this without any doubt. My girl of the last 50 plus years, she fits very well in here. Is she perfect? No. Don't tell her I said that. But she pursues excellence. She pursues excellence. And there is not a woman in this church family who cannot do that in the power of God the Holy Spirit. Not a single one of you. A word to single guys. This is the kind of woman you need to be looking for. This is the kind of woman you need to be looking for. Start with Proverbs 31 and look for a woman who fits into this category. She is pursuing these things in her life to be this godly daughter of the Most High God. Look at your notes. This is your standard, fellas. This is your standard because the most important decisions of your life are the Lord you're going to serve. That's number one. Number one, the Lord you're going to serve. And number two, the woman you're going to marry. The first decision is going to determine where you're going to live after you die, in heaven or hell. The second decision is going to determine whether or not you're going to feel like you're in heaven or hell on earth. The first decision, both decisions, very important. Look at your notes. A word to single women. This is a woman you want to be. Forget perfection, strive for excellence as a daughter of Abba's. Action step. Ladies, forget the magazines. Forget the magazines, their articles and their emphasis. They are so out of sync with what the Word of God says. Forget what you see on television, in the commercials. And instead, look at what the Word of God says about the real Wonder Woman. Because this is Abba Father's plan for his daughters. And it's better than any other plan. This is the perfect balance of beauty, intelligence, and spirituality. The woman who lives this way is going to be happy. She's going to be happy. I mean, I've told you about the old guy that bugs me. Every morning, stands right in front of my mirror. I keep telling him, move so I can shave. He didn't move very much this morning. He was tired. Look at your notes. The Wonder Woman of Proverbs 31 is also not only of good character and integrity, she is trustworthy. Trustworthy. In verse 11, the Holy Spirit reveals to us this morning, if you haven't read this in a while, the heart of her husband trusts her. The heart of her husband trusts her, and he will have no lack or gain of gain. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing in value. The fact is this, here's your fill-in. Trust is so important in a marriage, so is communication. You need to be honest with your spouse. You need to tell the truth to your spouse. If you have a trustworthy wife, you have a wife of great value. Also, looking at your notes, the extraordinarily godly Wonder Woman loves her husband. She's not only trustworthy, she's not only a woman of good character and integrity, she has agape love for her husband. She is seeking her husband's best and greatest good at her expense. Now, girls, don't go getting all upset here. This is a Mother's Day message. Dad's coming next month. Verse 12 here in Proverbs 31. This wonder woman, this extraordinary woman, this daughter of the Most High God, she does him good. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. Good comes to him. That is, the good that comes to him is attributed to her. The good that comes to him is attributed to her. She supports and encourages him. She is faithful and helpful to him all the days of her life. She is good to him and not harm all the days of her life. Action step. She is his greatest cheerleader. Cheerleader. She encourages him. She doesn't tear him down in public. She doesn't tell embarrassing stories about him in front of their friends. And to the point, a husband should not do that to his wife either. Build up your spouse in public. If you have something critical to say, then say it privately, behind closed doors, in low tones, so the kids don't hear it, or anyone else for that matter. Ladies, your kids are watching you. They're watching, they're listening. You may not think so, because of the way they act. But they're watching and they're listening. And Dad, they're watching and listening to you too. They may treat their future spouse exactly the way, girls, you treat your husband. Is that what you want your kids to do? Dad, how about you? Do you want your kids to treat their future spouse like you treat your wife? I overheard my daughter Julie years ago when she was pregnant with her firstborn. He's 23 now. She was very pregnant towards the end. And her husband walked around, got in the car, and he's waiting for her. And so she opened the door and she said, "You know what? My dad has been married to my mom," and that would have been 30 or so years, "and he still opens the car door for her." You see, his dad never opened the car door for his mom. Never. And I can't say that mine ever did either. My dad was gone, as I shared with you last week. Never observed what he did or didn't do, other than the fact that they got a divorce. They're watching, Mom. They're watching, Dad. The Wonder Woman here of Proverbs 31 also loves her family. She seeks the very best and highest good for each member of her family. We see from this proverb that she finds wool and flax and is busily spins it. She is like a merchant ship bringing her food from afar. The text actually says in verses 13 and 14, she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. In other words, she's a shopper. She brings her food from afar. Wool and flax is referring to the fact that she is making clothes that are going to be worn during the summertime. In this day, we wouldn't make clothes, do we? We buy them. With the exception of one lady in our church, she's an excellent seamstress. She makes clothes. You've seen her. She has made some of your clothes. They have flown her to an island off the coast, off the East Coast, to be in a wedding to make the clothes for the bride's sister, I think it was, while they were there in just a couple of days. These rich people, they can do anything. I think the emphasis, though, here in the text is not that a woman has to start making all the clothes for people in her family. Rather, that verse 13 is saying she works with willing hands, eager hands. She enjoys doing this. It speaks of a delightful willingness as we look at the Hebrew grammar. She enjoys the calling that Abba has given her as a woman, a wife, a mother. Verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. This woman, you've read the entire proverb. You know that she's well off. Her husband is well off. She considers a field and buys it with the fruit of her hands. What's she talking about? She's talking about what you see in verse 18, the merchandise that she is traded for. And maybe verse 24, the garments that she sells. But with the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She is also a shrewd investor. She goes to inspect a field and buys it with her earnings. The woman is an entrepreneur. She's a business lady. Besides these other things that have been shown us in the text. The woman of Proverbs 31 is not only a person who has very good integrity, very good character, someone who is trustworthy. She is a person who is wise. Wise, that's your fill-in. In verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She opens her mouth with wisdom. She speaks with wisdom and kindness to her children. Or possibly she even has some house servants. The fact is, here's your fill-in. The words of a mother are so powerful, and they will stay with her child throughout his or her life. You may not think they're listening, as I said earlier, but they are. My mom went to a group of men while I was in the military, and she asked them to become my intercessors. They were praying for me during that Vietnam War. They were praying for me to come to faith. I thought I was a Christian because I was baptized as an infant as a Methodist. And my dog tag said Methodist on it. I had no idea what the gospel was really all about. I had no idea what a Methodist really was. I would come to faith in a Baptist church. But she had these men praying for me. And she told me, there's a group of men praying for you to come to faith in the Lord Jesus. And I'm saying, why do I need that? What do I need that for? I am happily being a sinner. I enjoy getting drunk. I enjoy violating the Ten Commandments. Don't be trying to mess up my fun. But as the time went by and I'm still in the military, I wouldn't come to faith till after I got out of the military, but while I'm in there, these sinful activities I involved myself in and had such a good time, other than getting drunk, oh, those hangovers are not worth it. But anyway, I just remember my mom's words. I'm praying for you. These men are praying for you. And as they were praying for me, I would still do the sin, but it was not as gratifying. I would do the sin, and I'd feel guilty, and I didn't feel guilty before. So that's one way I remember Mom. The other way I remember Mom, I've shared with you in other as an illustration in other messages. It was my second Letterman's banquet. I'm going up, and my mom, I think I told you, she got me tossed off the football team because she didn't want me to get hurt. And so I'm getting my second letter. Would you tell them I'm not home? Somebody rang the bell. I go up on stage, and I'm being handed a certificate because I was captain of the swimming team as well as the cross-country team at Reseda High School. And then they're handing me all of these medals that I won all-city for both sports. And I'm beaming, just beaming. And then they gave me this trophy that stood about this tall. No, about as tall as the roses here, for being the not only the captain, but being the top swimmer, the top runner at that time. So I'm walking back with all these things, and I'm looking at my stepdad, and he's smiling at me. I'm feeling good. And then I look over at my mom, deadpan. So set him down on the table, and I go to sit down, and she leans over and she says, Ronnie, it's a shame you can't do as well in your studies. Now bear in mind, I'm 16 years old. I'm 76 now. I still remember those words. So, Mom, be careful. Choose your words carefully, wisely, before you open your mouth. Because you're going to open your mouth in kindness, right? You're going to pursue being the daughter of the Most High God. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. The fact is this, the words of a mother are so powerful that they will stay with the child throughout his or her life. My wife taught our kids from the Word of God, and she helped them with everything, with their homework. She helped them to learn manners, how to wash things, how to help take care of the dishes. She taught them how to tidy up their rooms. If we were to look back over our lives, we would realize there are a lot of things that our mothers said, and we still remember them. And we have been honed by their words and example. For example, of what I've just been saying, look at your notes. Our mothers taught us about anticipation. Do you remember that? Your mom was teaching you about anticipation. Maybe you're doing that with your own kids, even adult kids. They're teaching about anticipation when they said, just wait for when your father gets home. Right? You know, there's that time, Mom, when you were teaching about genetics. You're just like your father. And then maybe some of you taught your kids about justice. One day you're going to have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Amen. Once again, poor Julie. She was dealing with two of her five kids. I can't remember which two, but they were really being rascals. And I'm standing there in the living room watching her, and she looks up at me, and she says, "You prayed for this, didn't you?" And I said, "No, I prayed for 10 of them just like that." The fact is, looking at your notes, there's something about the bond of a child with his mother that is so special. When a little child falls down, who does he or she cry out for? Mom. That's right. Cries out for mom. If mom's not around, well, dad's a good second best. A distant second best. But they really want mom. When a football player makes a touchdown and he turns around and looks at the camera, what does he say? "Love you, mom." And then there's those true accounts of young men laying on a battlefield, a rice paddy in a jungle, or more recently out in the deserts, and he's dying, and who does he cry out for? Mom. Cries out for his mother. We thank our Abba Father for mothers, and we desire that they be blessed. Action step. Let your mother know today. Let your mother know today, if she's alive, let your mother know today that she is appreciated. Yes, and a gift is fine. A card is good, especially if you write something in it. Don't waste your money on one of those 99-cent cards or $2 cards that have three lines in it and your name. Sit down and spend 20 minutes if necessary and think through your past with this woman and how special and sacrificial she is, and tell her how much you love her. A card is good, especially if you write something in it, but she needs to know that you love her and that you've noticed all the things she had done, all her sacrifices. The best thing you could say to your mother or your wife, who is a mom, is you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. Because I'll tell you, she doesn't think so. So you tell her she is. Perfect? We're not striving for that. If you thought of giving her some flowers on top of all that, that's even better. Verbally say to her, I love you. I appreciate you. Thank you for all that you do. Say these things to her. It's an important thing to do for the extraordinary Wonder Woman who's in your life that's known as Mom. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Abba, thank you so very much for our moms. I thank you so much for my mom. I miss her. I miss her so much. And I'll always remember that last touch when she touched my cheek before she went to be with you. Father, you know I followed your advice in this, and Kathy knows that I love her and that I appreciate her. And I have thanked her for all the things that she has done, not only for our two remaining children, but for all of our grandkids as well. She was born to be my wife and lover. She was born to be the mother of our three children. And she was born to be a grandmother. And she was born to be a teacher. So I thank you for the example of the Wonder Woman you've put in my life. I've had the blessing of two, Kathy and my mom. And I trust that as my brothers and sisters here and friends who have come today, think about it, they've received the same or a similar blessing that you've blessed me with. And I trust that they will now be a blessing in the lives of these women and their lives. For I ask these things with gratefulness in my heart, in the name of your wonderful Son, who have saved most of our souls in this room. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that the time is coming yet for those who have yet to come to faith in you, that they will. For I ask it in your saving name.